Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The portion of God's word we hear on this day of our Lord's ascension is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 1, beginning at verse 6. So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood beside them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." This is God's word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, these are your words. Make us holy through the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Be seated. Now, if I were to stand here and all through the sermon have my cell phone out and be texting away while I was preaching, you probably would get the idea that I wasn't really paying attention to what I was doing. Now, I don't think that you're going to find statistics on accidents that occur because pastors are talking or texting on their cell phones while they're preaching, but you do find statistics about the accidents that occur while you're texting or talking on your cell phone while you're driving. The reason why? Well, the driver's not paying attention really to what he's doing. He's not keeping his eyes on the road. Now, we could expand that condemnation of distracted driving to all sorts of other things: eating while you're driving or drinking, playing with the radio, putting on makeup, talking to your friends in the back seat. And what's the remedy for all of those distractions? The remedy is to watch where you're going. As we celebrate the ascension of our Lord today, we especially concentrate on our Lord reassuming his rightful place, being seated at the right hand of power next to God. But we also think about what that means for us today, how that affects us as his followers. And really the same thing can be applied to us, the same command to watch where you're going. First off, by keeping your eyes on the sky. That's what the disciples were doing in the text. "Men of Galilee," the angels asked, "why do you stand looking into heaven?" Now, we can't really blame the disciples, can we? This was an incredible thing that was taking place. It was really hard for them not to be staring as Jesus was being lifted up into the air, taken away from their sight by a cloud. This was Jesus, their Savior, the one who had died and been buried and then had risen from death. And then for another 40 days, they were allowed to be with him and to listen to him more and learn from him. It was an incredible thing taking place. Their hopes were really, really high. Their hopes, that is, of Jesus restoring the kingdom of Israel to its former glory. "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" they asked Jesus. Now, it's easy for us to sit here and chuckle smugly at these silly disciples. Didn't they know what was going on? Didn't they understand what Jesus was about? Had they not been paying attention to him in those last 3 years? Didn't they hear things like, "My kingdom is not of this world"? Didn't they know that Jesus' kingdom was not about glory and fame and riches and power? And yet we're guilty of the same thing. We're guilty of trying to make Jesus' spiritual kingdom into something physical when we concentrate so much on this life, trying to do our best in this life, trying to get ahead, move higher and higher. We try to get better friends, better jobs, better grades, all the while looking up, always thinking that we have to move up, keeping our eyes on the sky in that respect. So is that a bad thing, to always be looking up? Well, it depends. It depends on what you're looking at or what you're looking for. If we're simply looking up to try and climb some rickety ladder of success, then keeping our eyes looking skyward might prove to be fatal, eternally fatal. But a valid reason to keep our eyes on the sky is given by the angels. This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. The proper focus for us as we keep our eyes on the sky is to watch for Jesus, to look for him to come back. It's as Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, with the sound of the trumpet of God." That day of the Lord's return is going to be an amazing day. It's going to be a terrifying day for anyone who has rejected Jesus. But for us, the chosen people of God, it's going to be an incredibly joyful day, because we know that that means we get to be in heaven with our Savior. So watch where you're going. Watch where you're going by keeping your eyes on the sky. Look up in anticipation. Look forward to the return of your Savior. Now, of course, you also need to keep your eyes on the road ahead of you as you watch where you're going. That's what the angels were trying to get across to the disciples in part when they asked, "Why are you standing here looking into heaven?" For these followers of Jesus, their day-to-day focus needed to be drawn down to reality. After all, what had Jesus told them just before he ascended? "Go. Go and make disciples of all nations. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." The disciples had their work cut out for them. And that's why the angels drew their attention from the sky back down to the earth. The incredible news of Jesus and what he had done needed to be told. You see, keeping our eyes on the road ahead of us isn't so much for our protection. We know that there are going to be days and times when all kinds of trials and temptations pop up in front of us. We know that Jesus has not left us alone. He sent the Holy Spirit, the Helper, to be with us. He himself promised to be with us and is with us to the very end of the age. We have his means of grace, his word and his sacraments through which our faith is made stronger so that we will someday join him in heaven. But what about all of those other people? What about all the people that we're passing on the highway of this life? Does everyone that we meet, everyone we know, every one of our friends, every one of our family members, do they know who Jesus is and what he's done for them? Do they know that Jesus lived and died and rose to be their Savior, to take their sins away? Do they know that Jesus ascended into heaven and yet is coming back on the last day? Now, I'm not trying to guilt you into being witnesses for Jesus. If you're one of his followers, if you trust in him for the forgiveness of your sins, for your eternal life, then you are a witness for Jesus. I'm simply pointing out the necessity of keeping your eyes open, always watching for people who need to hear that incredible news of their Savior. You can be the one to tell it to them so that they too can join us someday with our Savior in heaven. Yes, there are many people out there who are trying to figure out where to look for meaning or for hope in their lives. Are they going to find meaning in money? Are they going to find hope by getting high? Tell someone about Jesus. Have them be able to look where they're going, to look forward to Jesus coming back, just as he said he would. Amen.